if their understanding of Christianity is what they derive out of words in a book, quoting verses in chapters like a lot of robots, then I would say they've missed the mark.
Roy, how does one get to heaven? Or is there a heaven?
Oh, yes, the heaven. I believe a man should live forever. I believe that man...
How do you know there's a heaven?
I believe literally what Christ said.
How can you believe it? The Bible is nothing
but
toilet paper.
How do you know?
I know.
How?
I know. How do you know?
Well, you have to have a rational basis for knowing.
There's only two ways to know. Is to seek the truth and it reveal it to your heart quietly. Or someone like Mr. Dr. Martin to tell you. Now, I'd much rather seek it in my spirit, in my soul, and have it revealed to me, and have that kind of original relationship that Adam lost in believing the serpent. You see? So I'd much rather believe that and have that relationship, because that's faith in God. And that life of unbroken faith in the revealed word in your mind is what leads you to salvation. He who endures to the end will be saved. He who listens to this understanding as revealed to him each moment. Adam didn't listen to that. He listened to something outside himself.
You quoted something there. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Where'd that come from?
It comes from a scripture somewhere. I read it.
Now, how can you keep quoting the scriptures?
I love it.
I know. But how can you keep quoting the scriptures if the Bible objectively is not God speaking to us? Why do you cite it as if it was authoritative? Why not just quote the Upanishads and the Vedas or something else? Why the New Testament? You use Christian terminology.
Why not?
This is the point. You use Christian terminology. It makes it appear as if the foundation...
It doesn't offend you, though, doesn't it? Doesn't offend you.
It offends me for one reason.
It offends
me for one reason.
Why?
That is, you will come right out and quote Scripture, quote Jesus Christ, apply biblical principles, and then you will turn around and deny Jesus Christ, deny the Trinity, deny His resurrection.
No, I don't. I deny...
You don't believe He rose
from
the dead in His own body, do you?
I deny the Christ of the pseudo-Christian. The Christ of the pseudo-Christian is something conjured out of imagination. Which is the worst sin of all.
What are you referring to?
To walk around with a cross around your neck. To have a picture on the wall where you worship Jesus. To rehearse words over and over again as if you couldn't be heard for much speaking. As if you spoke...
Again the Bible.
You see? Again. But the point is, that to me is stench to my nostrils.
Well, of course, I can see where it would be a stench to your nostril, because having denied Christ...
No, I don't deny Christ.
You have denied Him. He says that He's God.
Yeah.
You say He's not. Christ said He would come back from the dead in His own body. You say He didn't.
I didn't say that.
Oh, you have in your tapes.
I didn't say that.
On your Easter tapes, you don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ.
Oh, I do.
You believe that Jesus Christ came out of the tomb in the same body that hung on the cross.
Yes.
The same body.
Yeah. So you're asking me now, I'm telling you.
Okay, that's
you got it straight from me.
I got it straight from you, that's fine, because I've got to go back.
I really do, I really believe that.
I've got to go back and listen to some other things then.
All right.
Because it appears to me that you don't.
No, honestly, I do. I don't think you'll find me ever denying that.
Well, if you don't deny His bodily resurrection, why are you having such a hard time with His deity?
I don't think he did it for Himself. I think His Father did it. He said, "Why call?"
He said, "I will raise my body."
You know, he when he was said, "Good sir," he said, "Don't call me good. There is none good but God."
Oh well, now that's a fascinating quotation. If we carried that to its logical conclusion, Jesus Himself wouldn't be good.
He said, "Of myself, I do nothing. It's the Father within me; He does the works."
And He said, "All men should honor the Son."
Well, you know, you
can
take quotes. You know, you can, but there's plenty of evidence in the Scripture that. You know, he's going to sit on the right hand of His Father. Well, I don't understand that either. If He's God, He can't sit at the right hand of Himself.
Well, both you.
Unless He has a split personality.
No, that's Trinitarian theology.
I know.
But you, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Worldwide Church of God, the Unity School of Christianity, Christian Science, all of you deny the deity of Jesus Christ.
Well, they call themselves Christians too.
Well, nobody can be a Christian according to the Bible and historic Christianity if you deny Christ.
That's only your interpretation of it.
No. All right, gentlemen, let's go to the phones. Let's all put our headphones on, and we'll go to the phones. For those of you who have been calling...
We do want to
calling,
ask Mr. Masters, Roy, we do want to ask him some questions about explaining some of these passages which he's offered to do, which
we'll
are difficult for me to understand.
Let's go to the phones. We've had several of our listeners hanging on for a few minutes, and for those of you who have not been able to get through yet, keep trying, and we will get to your call in just a few moments. Thank you for waiting, and you're on the air with the Bible Answer Man.
Hello.
Go ahead. Hi.
Oh, yes. Roy, yes. It seems that you've made a lot of division, such and such is a cult and such is a quote, but one thing that I fail to see is any standardization or any standard for measuring any of these things.
The standard is not the Bible. The standard is what the Bible brings you to.
Okay, now I can understand how you say that the word, the printed word on a piece of paper is nothing. Now, to a true Christian, it is the message that is conveyed by those words.
No, I didn't say it was nothing. I said it's not the thing.
Okay, but it's the message that the Bible itself says that the message that those words convey
it's the meaning.
Is a living message.
Well, no, it doesn't become living until you realize it to be so.
Until we respond to it.
No, if you respond to a word, you'll be still responding to a language. And language is the mouth of Satan.
No, I think we have to face the issue that if God Almighty chose to use words to communicate to us the fact that He loved us and sent His Son to be our Savior, we had better not kick His language
no,
around.
No, no. You see, it's the misuse of the language. There's nothing wrong with my words or, you know, Walter's words, but the misuse of the word. If a word is loaded with meaning, we better not...
Well, if it's biased, I can accept that. But when I read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit imparts a certain meaning to my heart.
Yeah, but the word itself is only a noise.
Well, I'm not bound by a... By
you understand that. The word itself...
Noise or a given word. But
it's
when I read the Bible, I am seeking God's message to me.
But how do you know that the word on that page is the message? What tells you?
Me is the reliability of the scripture. Okay.
Comparing what you
mean? The fact that I have researched and studied the origin of the Bible and the reliability of the scriptures to the point that I have, as a human, very good faith in the trustworthiness. Now, that can only take a person so far. And from there, I seek the Lord with my whole heart, as we're instructed to in Psalms 119:2.
Yes, well, I understand all that.
Ask God to reveal His truth to me.
Well, now, the revelation, now, that's where I come in, because...
But you have no standard for revelation.
The standard is not the Bible. The standard is what the Bible awakens to me in my own heart.
Okay, now if you have, what you are telling me is that if you have 100 people, and those 100 people read a given verse of Scripture, whatever they have awakened in their own heart, we have 100 different meanings, you're saying that that's okay, that that's truth.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, that's essentially,
because
you set no standard.
You see, if those 100 different people do not have a love of God, an affinity, the knowledge or the understanding how to awaken and grasp the essence of that awakening and leave behind the cold words, language, then if people are all involved in their imagination, where they're involved with their culture, involved with sin, involved with all kinds of distortion which the imagination provides, if a person reads the Bible, then you'll have 100 people reading the Bible 100 different ways, as you'll find in all of Christendom.
If these 100 people who are reading the Bible,
they'll
if
interpret
read the
it.
Whole Bible, they will get not the words on paper, not the certain meanings, but they will get the message, God's message.
Well, now let me tell you how I do it. Let me tell you how I do it personally. I sit and meditate, and I meditate in a very special way. I learn how to detach my conscious mind, my spirit, if you like, from my imagination. Because as long as my mind is lost in my imagination or caught up with emotionality, everything I hear will be distorted by my past training and conditioning. But if I separate my conscious mind from my imagination, there is reality. And then when you speak
to me... No, there is reality as you perceive it.
As you perceive it in you alone, Roy, and it's up to each individual's interpretation
What you must do is try my meditation, because the only way you're going to find out what I see key is to go through the experience yourself.
Why should I try your meditation when Psalms 119 tells me that I should continually meditate on the Word of God?
Forgive me if that makes you happy.
Scriptures.
If that makes you happy, you must do it.
I'm taking the Lord, not Roy Masters, and His Word tells me that I should meditate on Him.
Well,
and you are telling me to meditate on your methods.
Well, we appreciate what you're saying, and there's a clear difference of opinion
sure.
there. We've got to move on to
thank you for
other
your call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. You're on the air with the Bible Answer Man.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question to Roy Masters.
Hello.
But first, Roy, I'll have to lay a quick foundation here and try to wrap up what you've been speaking with Walter Martin about, namely about the Word of God. I'd just like to briefly state that the Word of God is what God speaks, and that the Bible is merely a recording of that.
I think that's well said.
And it is holy only in that it awakens us to listen to what God speaks by His Spirit, and that is its function.
What is the question that you have for Roy?
Well, that really says what I say.
Yeah, I understand
this
that.
This man is saying what I'm saying.
The question that I had for Roy was namely how the Word relates to Christ. In John 1:1, Christ is referred to as being the Word of God and as being God Himself. But how is this unless Christ Himself only speaks what God says, and that therefore He is a reflection of God, like it is spoken of Moses in Exodus 7:1.
Well, I'm not terribly good at memorizing verses and chapters.
No, I don't intend to memorize anything, but in Exodus 7:1 it is spoken of Moses, where God says, I have made you God to Pharaoh. Obviously, Moses wasn't God Himself.
No.
Yet He was a reflection of God. He spoke what God said.
Of Jesus, it said, to everyone that came to Him, does He give the power for us to become sons of gods. In other words, He was the first of a new order of human beings. And we are to become like Him by the same process that He obeyed the Spirit in His own heart. See, Jesus wasn't a verse and chapter man. Although he understood the scriptures very well, he wasn't a verse and chapter man. He spoke originally out of his own heart,
yes,
as revealed to him moment by moment.
Now
he had a personal dialogue, not with verses and chapters,
but
with the Father Himself.
Now, I have to disagree with you here. If you go through the New Testament, in the dialogues of Jesus of Nazareth, you will find Him consistently quoting the scripture to prove every single point that He ever taught. He said, the scriptures cannot be broken. The scriptures, every jot and tittle will be fulfilled. He repeatedly told us the authority of the Old Testament. Now, we have His word for the authority of the Old Testament. What I cannot understand is how you can quote Him, quote the New Testament, quote the Bible, and yet deny Christ's view of it. Deny Christ as actually God in human
flesh.
Walter,
I'm looking at it through His eyes.
The eyes of Jesus say the
scriptures. I'm looking at you as a Pharisee. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you as a Sadducee.
And I'm looking at you as a cultist. But we still have to dialogue.
I see you as an intellectual Christian.
Well, you don't say very kind words about intellectual
Christians. And your authority is from someone who taught you.
No, my authority is from my own studies of the scriptures. I did my homework. I put in all the years that were necessary, and I still am doing it. It's not just an opinion, but the words that I am speaking in relation to the Lord Jesus
are the reflection of those words in the Bible you've read.
Exactly.
In other words, you're a parrot.
No. I'm obedient to the Scripture.
I know you are.
Well,
that's the problem.
What is wrong with being obedient to God?
Well, no, because the word in the Bible is not God. Those are the words from Him, but they are about Him, but they are not Him.
Then how is it possible for me to ever know when God is speaking?
I really don't know.
You don't know, but Scripture does.
I don't know how it is with you that way. I know how it is with me.
If the lines are busy, keep trying, and we'll get to as many calls as we can during the next hour. You're on the air.
Yes, I would like to speak to Roy Masters.
Hello, hello.
Hi, I would like to ask you one thing.
Yes, you have to turn the radio off.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I would like to ask you if you believe in one God or many gods.
Well, it's obvious that I believe in one. I believe there's two, but that the other one's is the bad guy.
Well, I have a question about that because in your book, The Secret of Life and Death, 1970 edition,
yes,
you say that gods do not need to be governed and that from the inherent choice which allows us to become gods. So it seems like you believe in more than one God.
No, but people, through choosing wrongly and pridefully, we try to become God. We try to emulate God himself. And we get caught up with the personalities. We become subject to our environment and subject to the persuasion, the dangerous persuasions of language.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. We're trying to become gods. I'm saying this is not... We're not supposed to try to... We're not supposed to be egotistical. That's a psychological word for pretending to be something we're not, or trying to be something that we're not, trying to lord it over or play God in someone's life. We all have a very high ideas of ourselves we maintain through lies and through the wrong kinds of friends and through the wrong kinds of study that pump our egos up.
But the Bible teaches that if we recognize the fact that we're sinners, that we break the law of God all through our lives, and that the only way we can be restored is by God recreating us in his own image through faith
Let
in Christ.
Let me ask you a question. Do you sin, Dr. Mark?
Of course.
Ask me the same question.
Do you?
No.
Well, I mean, that's the difference between us. I'm a sinner saved by grace.
How are you saved if you keep sinning?
Because God doesn't promise you perfection as long as you're in the flesh.
I think if you read John, 2 John, it says that we are meant to be perfect.
No, the divine ideal is that man be a complete reflection of God. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
But you are a sinner. You break God's law every day of your life.
How so?
You never lie?
No.
Never cheat?
No.
Never steal?
No.
You never look with lust upon a woman?
No.
In other words, you do not break any of God's commandments.
No.
Now, may I give you an answer?
Do you do all those things?
May I give you an answer, okay?
Let me start. Do you do all those things?
Let me finish first.
Shame on you, Walter.
I will go one step further. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Well, I didn't say I wasn't a sinner, did I?
But you do sin.
No.
Now, wait a minute. That's illogical.
No, it's not logical because I found salvation. If I'm found salvation, what have I found salvation from? Isn't it from sin?
What is sin?
What is sin?
Yeah, tell me.
You don't know what sin is?
I'm asking you.
It's a response to Satan, doubting God, disobedience to God.
No, sin is rebellion against the law of God.
Right, but I'm not in rebellion anymore.
Oh, yes, you do.
How so?
Because you're a sinner.
But you can't speak for me.
Sure I can.
How so?
Listen, the scripture says that if you say you're not...
You're very presumptuous, you know.
The scripture says, if you say you're not a sinner, okay?
Yeah.
You're lying and you're not telling the truth.
I don't see that said in the scripture.
Well, that's because you don't know the scripture. That's the whole problem. You quote constantly.
Would you like to read John 3?
Yeah.
You can read, everybody can read themselves.
Sure.
It says that a person is not meant to sin. And if a man says he sins and believes in Christ, he hasn't known God. It says it right there in John.
No, it says if a man practices sin as a habit,
yes,
then he is not telling the truth.
No, but it doesn't say that there at all. I think you better read your scripture.
No, I read it in Greek too, and the tenses in Greek and the new translations are very much clearer than the King James. But I do believe...
If you'd like to turn to John, you'll see it written down there. Several verses of it, very clear that any man, that the whole idea of Christ coming was to save man from sin.
Yeah.
And if a man goes on sinning, it proves that he has never known God.
I agree.
And the children of the devil have practiced sin continuously.
What makes someone child of the devil?
Is one who continues to rebel and to look upon women with lust and to lie and to cheat and to respond to all of those responses to his senses and to appeal to his ego.
Well, whosoever offends in one point of the law is guilty of all.
I offend in no point of the law.
Then you're perfect.
No, I'm not perfect. I'm becoming perfect. That's what the Bible tells me. It says, be you therefore perfect. It says, become perfect. So the way I become perfect is learning how to respond to what I know is right in my heart and resisting the teasing of temptation. Now, that is a beautiful thing to do. And if you don't do that, you'll always be in conflict and you'll never go to heaven.
But Christianity specifically states, and Christ taught, that if you rebel against the law of God, you're a sinner.
Well, but I've been saved from it, so what...
But you still rebel.
You say that.
Well, I think...
You don't know me very well.
The Bible knows you better than you know yourself.
The Bible's not a living person.
Oh, but the Bible is the living Word of God.
You speak of it as though it had eyes and ears.
It does. And it judges us.
The Bible?
Yes.
I don't understand that. That's very difficult for me to grasp.
All right. The Bible is God's communication to man.
No.
That's the church's view. We're talking about Christianity.
That's the unsaved. That's the unsaved communication to man through other men and through teaching.
But you yourself have not been born again, have you?
No. But being born again is a process of gestation. There is first the conception, where you realize you're a sinner, and you repent of the sin, and you start moving and having your being through faith where it was not possible before.
This is Armstrong.
Faith is a very difficult thing for a person to have.
This is the Armstrong cult, Roy.
I don't know anything about
Armstrong. That's his argument, that you are not born again now, but later on as you progress. The Bible says we're already born again of an incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives in the
Well, you're speaking
forever.
About the seed. Well, you see, you have two kinds of births, in the sense. The incorruptible seed, when it comes into your heart, begins a process of gestation. Have you ever seen those movies like The Alien, where creatures get inside and they grow up inside the person and displace the person and burst out, eat him away inside, and steps out a new person? Well, that is the reverse process of salvation. If a man continues to live in sin, a spirit comes inside the man and takes over the man's body completely and changes him completely to becomes a carnal, death-oriented creature. But if a man receives the nature, the spirit, or the divine sperm into himself, then a process of gestation occurs, where if he keeps himself free from sinning, we're aborting the new birth, the new fetus.
But this is definitely not Christian theology.
Oh, I think it is.
Well, see, this is the point that is of such great importance to us. You consistently affirm your continuity with Christianity, yet you consistently contradict Christ and the apostles. I don't find that this is either logical or true.
Well, you don't contradict them. You just repeat them mechanically. And that's what I find obnoxious.
Well, why is it obnoxious?
You don't understand what you're saying when you say it.
How do you know that?
Well, I can hear it. Your only authority for saying that you know that you know is because the Bible says it. And you don't
that.
Even know if the Bible is true or not. You say, well, the Bible's true because the Bible says it's true.
No.
And I don't understand that logic. It's illogical.
That is begging the question in logic, and I'm not saying that. The Bible is not one book. The Bible is a compilation of testimonies in various books. All right, then. When I quote a certain section of the Bible to prove another section, I'm not quoting the Bible to prove itself. I'm quoting another source which contributes to that knowledge.
But ultimately, you have to realize that what it's saying is so.
It is so.
No, you have to realize it. Mm. And the point of realization is where you leave words behind and take a grasp upon the courage of your own of convictions. You know what's wrong with the people of the world today is because they doubt themselves and listen to people, and they listen to preachers' interpretation of things, and they get totally confused.
Let's go back to the phones. You're on the air.
Hello. I would like to ask I'm sorry, but I don't remember your last name. Walter?
Yeah. Walter Martin.
Yeah. Jesus asked Peter, who was he? And Peter said, well, you are the living son of the living God.
No, he didn't say that.
Well,
he said, Matthew 16:18, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And they told him. And then Jesus said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Right.
Very nice.
Thank you for the correction. Yeah. I don't know it like you do, because I didn't spend...
But she's made a point, though. She's made a point.
I'm sorry. But their sense of what I'm trying to say was the same. And he also said that Peter was correct. And later on, he told masses and masses of people that he was the way. Now, if he said that he was God, as you say, how can God be the way?
Okay.
Wait just a minute.
Well, you asked me the question.
Wait, I'm not done with my question. It's a little long. Just be patient with
me. Go ahead.
Okay? Anyway, so if you make Jesus to become God, how can he lead you to the fountain of wisdom, which is God?
Okay. Answer the question by pointing out that in Christian theology and in the New Testament, there are three persons: the Father, who is called God, the Son, who is called God, the Spirit, who is called God. The three persons are all called the one God, and the Bible says there is only one God. Now, whether we can understand how God is who he is irrelevant. The fact is he has declared this.
That's double talk.
He has revealed this in New Testament theology. Now, as far as Jesus being the way, he is the way to the Father because he is the Son. And to use one of Mr. Masters' own arguments when he talks on John 1:1, my Son is an extension of me. Jesus Christ is an extension of his Father. God begot a Son. Wait a minute. Using the same argument, if Master's Son is human, God's Son is divine.
Therefore, Jesus is not just an extension in flesh. He is God himself in flesh.
Excuse me, but that is your interpretation.
No, ma'am, that's exactly what the text says.
Wait just a minute. Wait.
No, I will not just a minute. That is precisely what the text
says.
What
you're doing is pulling rank on the lady. You mustn't pull rank.
I have to pull rank for one reason.
Excuse me, sir.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. I heard you.
No, you didn't hear me.
I did.
I'm trying to get a point across to you, okay? The point is this. It is not my interpretation. It is the interpretation of the Christian church for 1900 years. Now, if you don't want to believe it, that's entirely up to you. But don't go around saying that it is Christianity, because it isn't.
But thank you for your call. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Am I on?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Well, my question is more like a question of a question. Anyway, I'm going to say that in Exodus 3:14, the Word of God says, Moses said, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, no one would dare say I am unless he was God. And in the New Testament, it also says, Jesus says, I am. And if Mr. Roy Masters wants to say that Jesus is not God in the flesh, well, why would he be saying himself that I am? He is God in the flesh, the Trinity. And there are many people that don't believe this, but even in Genesis,
I think, sister, we can't go on all night on the point. If Roy wants to respond to that,
no, it's all right.
Then, or we'll go on to something else. But I think you've made your point. If he wants to respond, it's fine with me. Okay, let's go on.
All righty. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Roy?
Yes, huh?
Yes, we've met before. I came to repentance through your meditation, for which I will be forever grateful. The first time we met after that, I asked you about it. You told me that I was experiencing new growth. You said that I was being regenerated. You didn't tell me it was the Holy Spirit. I had to find that out for myself by going to the Word, to the Scripture.
Well, that's how my meditation works. It works in conjunction with the use of the Scripture, because when you meditate,
yes,
you can realize what the Scripture is telling you.
Yes, well, I developed such a hunger for the Scripture.
Beautiful. I have no argument with that at all.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, I never got that straight because...
Well, that's not my job. My job is not to interpret Scripture, because you hear me speak of Scripture all the time.
Yes.
And my recommendation for people who meditate is to leave Scripture alone for a while, and then learn to be objective so they see things clearly.
Yes.
And then you see in Scripture what you never saw before.
Absolutely. It has been opening up vast panoramas of awareness ever since I started.
Oh, I highly recommend the use of Scripture, but in that way, in the way that it awakens you and that you don't get entangled with it.
Well, no, I'm not entangled with it. I understand what you mean by the hypnosis of words, and I have never been involved in it from that point of view, only from a point of view of incredible gratefulness for the understanding that the Spirit is giving me.
Well, the Spirit... You know, the letter kills, words kill you, and
yes,
and the understanding of it, that's life. That's life itself when you have a relationship with what reveals words to you.
I understand.
And you leave behind the sin of words.
Okay, thank you for your call.
Okay.